In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, for those who were here last Sunday, you'll notice I wasn't, and Father Constantine F. Sathio was with you. And that's because he has been helping the parish in Vallejo as they transition between pastors. And I have too, with some other elements of their church life. And I wanted to see what their liturgy was like, and then speak to their parish last Sunday. So Father Constantine came here and I went there. And it's always different to preach to a church that you don't know well, both because you kind of feel like some sort of a circuit riding evangelist with the way you have to preach your message, and you really wonder, you know, who you're preaching to and if they're hearing it and what it is you should say. And it's much different than to come back and to then deliver the message to people that you've known for over 10 years. It's a whole different perspective from here. I'm not sure if it's a different perspective from the people who are sitting in the pews, but it certainly feels different to me to be back with my own family and then to be able to preach to them. Back in June of 2008, when you all welcomed me so warmly to Holy Trinity, I made mention of something that it remains a fact in my life, and it has to do with why I continue to serve as a priest. And the reason I continue to serve as a priest, because after one has been doing this work for a long time, we realize how true everything that we teach and preach is. And so there becomes this imperative of, I've got to tell as many people about this as possible before I die, because it's all so important. And that is a transition I think a lot of ordained clergy make throughout their careers. Certainly when we get ordained for all sorts of reasons, but the reason we keep doing this is because this is just so important. But you know, when I gave you those words to think about, I was in a different decade of life. And my perspective on things continues to change, as does all of us as we get older. And so in a very real way, I think a lot about what do I want to leave behind me when I leave here? Because I can do the math, and I know that either a retirement banquet or a macaria are much closer to me now than they ever were before. Maybe we can save you all some money and we can combine the two events, I don't know. But that's a fact. I have a lot more days behind me than ahead of me. And I wonder what condition, whenever that is, whether it's a week from now or 30 years from now or anything in between, but what condition do I want to leave the parish in? This is extremely important. Because I would love for somebody to follow me and say, oh, thank goodness Father did that, and oh, this is really good, and I like the way they do this at Holy Trinity. And I would hate for somebody to walk into the church and go, what was that guy thinking all those years? What was wrong with him? I would have let him down and let you all down. So this morning, and I don't know, maybe I guess for the rest of the time here, I guess a lot of my preaching will be colored by that reality that I've got more days behind me in life than ahead of me. And so I want to speak very frankly about some things that we are doing here at Holy Trinity. First, this Tuesday, our small groups, our Bible study, faith and fellowship resumes. And now we have about 50 people that participate every year, and that's a significant number. But I will tell you, it is one of the best things that we do here. And if you participate in faith and fellowship, it will change your faith, it will enrich your faith, it will enrich your life. It is time well spent. And like everything else we try to do around here, we publish the meeting dates ahead of time. And we don't meet every week into perpetuity. We meet for a definite, defined, prescribed number of weeks, and then we take a break. So that you know that you don't have to come every week, but in a sense you do have to come every week, because When you do a weekly Bible study that never stops, you can skip a week or two and say, I'll just pick it up next month. Not so with faith and fellowship. We meet and then we're done. And then to honor people's time, we start promptly at 6:30. People come in, they have their dinner, then we sit down a little bit after 7 and meet in our groups, and everybody is done by 8:30. But I don't know how much more plainly I can say this to anybody, whether you are a young person and an older person in between, whether you come to church every week, once a month, whatever it is, faith in fellowship will change you. And I feel a bit like your dental hygienist telling you, please floss. Well, do this. It's good for you. You will enjoy it. You come, don't just come 1 week, come 2, 3 weeks, then you're gonna say, oh my goodness, this was so great. When's the next class going to start? So that's this Tuesday at 6:30, Faith and Fellowship. A second thing I wanted to address this morning is the way we're going to be doing Sunday school. And that's different than what we have been doing, which is not to put down what we've been doing at all in the past. But here is a reality. Children need to be in church with their families, worshiping together, receiving the Eucharist together. They need to be in church from the youngest age possible, and they need to keep coming to church to worship. Whatever we offer in the way of religious education, other ministries, is only there to supplement the experience of children sitting with their parents, worshiping with their parents on a regular basis. Our goal, as I have mentioned in the past, our goal as a church is not to raise Sunday school graduates. Our goal is to raise Christians. And there can be a very radical difference. I have visited a lot of churches throughout the country, served various churches. I continue to help churches that are in transition and that need special attention. And I will tell you that every community throughout the country is filled with people on a mailing list who were in Sunday school regularly as children, maybe even got their little attendance pin that they used to give out though those many years ago, and now they have nothing to do with the church. And it's because we raised really excellent Sunday school students, but we didn't form people as Christians. Now my family is away this week. They're all at the monastery except for me. Some of you might know that Vasilia's Nuna is Sister Siliani down at the monastery. So they went down to see her. So I can say this without fear of embarrassing my family unless they go back and listen to the recording. If you were to ask me how to improve your golf game, I could not help you. If you were to ask me how to shoot a better jump shot, couldn't help you. Even after 10 years, if you were to ask me where's the best dim sum in San Francisco, couldn't help you. But when it comes to Presbyterian and me, if you want to know how to raise kids, you could do a lot worse by asking other people. My kids were in church every Sunday from the time they were 40 days old. And a lot of that was my wife's work, obviously, because I was doing something else. It works. It works. I can't tell you any more straightforward than that. Children need to be worshiping with their parents. And I realize we don't have a lot of kids in our parish. We're not Oakland, we're not Scottsdale, we're not Belmont, we're Holy Trinity. But that's okay. We have fewer children, but they deserve our love and attention just as much as any other parish's children. Because we're preparing them to live their life. And as Dale, our dear friend who's working with our parish council as he did in 2009, as Dale points out, and it's very true, The children are not the future of our church. They're the future of somebody else's church. Very few people stay where they grow up anymore. But we're raising the generation of Christians that will come after us, that will continue to do Christ's work, continue to serve the church, continue to spread the gospel. And then along with this Sunday school program is classes for adults. And why is that? Because the truth is, we adults need the education almost more than the children. There's a cliche in Christian education that is true. Jesus played with children and he taught adults. In the modern church, we play with adults and teach children. So we need to learn more. And by doing our adult Sunday school class right before liturgy, that gives me then, on the Sundays that I'm not teaching, and I don't plan to teach a lot of them, I think we have plenty of capable people in this parish, that gives me the opportunity to be downstairs and to see what our children are doing, so that they can interact with me as well, so I can be in both places, bouncing around and seeing what's going on, letting people know that I support what's happening. And then the third item that we need to talk about is what that will do to our Sunday schedule with regard to the sermon. And it gives us an opportunity to do something that we should have been doing all along, but we couldn't because of Sunday school. But Sunday school, we dismissed after Holy Communion, and then we had to fill up the time, so we did the sermon near the end of church, just as I am doing today. But all of us who know anything about the church know that the sermon belongs after the gospel reading. This is the educational part of the service. We hear the epistle, we hear the gospel, we receive the sermon, and then we can focus on receiving communion. Two different shifts. And that's a good thing, to be able to think about learning and then to spend the rest of the time praying and opening our hearts and getting ready to receive communion. And what happens in churches all over the place, not just here, it was true in Vallejo when I was there last Sunday, when the sermon is at the end of liturgy, people can just kind of slide in towards the end to hear the sermon and then go downstairs for a cup of coffee. But that's wrong, because the Eucharist is the center of what we do. There's nothing that I could say, there's nothing that any priest could say that comes anywhere close to receiving the body and blood of Christ inside of us, being joined to him. The center of what we do is receiving Holy Communion. Now, does that mean that I'm somehow placing, with the support of the parish council and lots of you too, but I'll take the blame, that I'm placing some sort of set of expectations on you that we show up for church at this scheduled and appointed time? And the answer is yes. Christian churches that are doing well today, and most of them are not Orthodox, they're Protestant churches, when you join that church, you have a meeting with the pastor. It's typically a class. And he goes, this is what's expected from you if you go to this church. And he kind of goes down the list. And he says, you're going to tithe, you're going to pray, you're going to be in a small group. He goes right down the list. This is what's expected. In the church of the first century, the church grew so well because there were expectations. When a person was becoming Christian, they sat with the bishop, and the bishop said, this is what Christians do. He went right down the list. If we think about the deterioration of Christianity in the 20th and now 21st century, including and especially Orthodox Christianity in the United States, I would say a big part of it is we don't lay enough expectations on ourselves. We kind of do what we want when we want. Come to church on the Sundays when we want to. The other ones, come at whatever time we want. Fast if we want to, pray if we want to. And we see the result of that. Our parish, compared to others, is doing great, but there are many parishes that are failing. And it's because there's no expectations. Well, here's an easy expectation. Come to church on time. If any of you has a job where you show up for work at 10 or 10:30 a.m. every day and then leave at noon, please tell me, because I'm going to put in my retirement papers early. I want that job. And if your kids go to that kind of a school, you're getting ripped off. So I know that everybody here is up at 5 a.m., 6 a.m., 7 a.m. every day. So would we sleep in till 9 a.m., that's sleeping in. That's no other way to describe it. So come on time. It's an easy expectation. And it helps to change us when we do things that God wants us to do. We start to conform to His will. And that's good to conform to God's will. This morning's gospel reading has this: if anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Well, I don't think that coming to church on time, hearing the sermon, and bringing your children to church is much of a cross, quite frankly. If you think that's a cross, you haven't lived long enough. Whoever would save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake in the Gospels will save it. Whoever wants the easy life, you're going to lose it. Whoever wants to do a little bit of extra work, you're going to save your life. What does it profit someone to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? What can you give in return for your life? Whoever is ashamed of me, said the Lord, and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. I know that none of us are ashamed of the Lord, so why should we even begin to act that way? And then Jesus says, truly I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God come with power. The kingdom of God is coming with power. It's breaking into the world now. It's all around us. We just need to open our eyes, be in church and worship, be part of this beautiful community, and in fact, we will see that kingdom of God breaking into the world. Now, there's lots of ways I could title the sermon. You know, we post the sermon online, and I'm always challenged what to put on there. That's the opposite of many churches, where the preacher puts the title of the sermon out front. I'm afraid to do that. I might scare some people off. So what do we call this sermon? A recommitment? Expectations? Father Aris is a grumpy old man. How about this, since we're going back to school? That's really what we're talking about this time of year. Going back to school in a literal sense for many of us, but going back to school, all of us as Christians, and readdressing how it is we teach ourselves and teach our children. Maybe we should just call this sermon a back-to-school special.